This podcast series is brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai is building a better world for tomorrow by aiming to neutralize CO2 emissions at all stages of production and operation. Hyundai is working toward carbon neutrality by 2045. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
It's late September 2017. General Motors CEO Mary Barra calls in the company's top brass for a meeting at global headquarters inside Detroit's Renaissance Center. They're going to talk about how the company is going to navigate a new landscape dominated by electric powertrains.
These EV commercialization meetings were the senior leadership of the company. It was everyone from Mary Barra, Mark Royce, Dan Ammann, the top levels of the engineering ranks, Doug Parks, Pam Fletcher, top levels of the R&D ranks. It was basically almost the entirety of the senior leadership.
The goal? To get everyone on the same page about the company's future amid a revolution of sorts for the industry. And they had to do it quick. The next week, GM would make a huge announcement.
At the time, we were talking through an announcement that we were going to be making around how many electric vehicles we were going to be bringing to market over the next few years. And I had been pushing for the need to be able to go bigger than just announcing, you know, a few electric vehicles or a bunch of hybrids. Or, you know, I was really clear. The only story that mattered is, you know, a headline of GM believes in an all-electric future. And that if GM wasn't willing to go that far, then my question was, is that painting a big enough picture that we need to be painting about what GM really believes about what the future is going to look like?
Today, this is GM's mantra, but it was far from a given for the 100-year-old plus company that's been known in the past for being stubbornly set in its ways. So going from that to this,
General Motors, we believe in an all-electric future.
It's quite a story, and you'll hear it now on Driving to Zero, the auto industry's roadmap to carbon neutrality. I'm Jake Neer with Automotive News.
My name is Ray Wirt, and I'm a strategic communications consultant.
In 2017, Ray was on GM's global communications team, serving under the title Head of Storytelling and Advanced Technology Communications. Before that, he was the editor-in-chief of Jalopnik, Gawker Media's often flippant automotive website. Ray says it was a critical time for GM and for CEO Mary Barra.
Mary really challenged the leadership team to come up with, I think, a broader and a bigger mission and vision than just, you know, building cars and trucks that people love. It was really about how do you plant that flag and show that we have a vision for where the world's going to go and that GM's going to lead the way towards that.
And that's the framework that leads to those electric vehicle commercialization meetings. Ray says they were designed to make sure the entire leadership team was aligned on this new mission, whatever that was going to be.
It really required a really big leap on the part of General Motors. It had to be a company that believed in an all-electric future. And so one of the things that I did is I pushed very, very hard on the senior leadership to make that happen. And what I think we realized is that many of the senior leaders agreed with that. They just didn't know if the other senior leaders agreed with that.
And I assume when you say that you had to push, that there was some resistance. What did that sound like?
Well, I don't think it wasn't resistance per se as much as it was a sort of reckoning with themselves of that, like, we needed to go bigger.
Now, it's important to note that at this point, GM had also decided to announce its now famous refrain of 0-0-0, meaning zero crashes, zero emissions, and zero congestion. So in that meeting, Ray says he was trying to make the point that GM needed to live up to those big ideas.
You know, there was a moment where I said, you know, the headline that you need is GM believes in an all-electric future. And I think it was both, I think Dan Ammann and Mary Barra pretty much said the same thing, which is like, but we don't. And I said, well, and I said, that's sort of the problem. I said, if we just went out there and said we believe in a vision of a world of zero emissions, sort of as engineers, tell me how do we get to a world of zero emissions if we're still burning fossil fuels? And there wasn't an answer to that question. And so there was it was a little bit of silence after that. the meeting sort of ended. And there really wasn't a decision that came out of that. And I then went over to Mark Royce's office to sit down with him and walk him through the announcement.
Mark Royce is now president of General Motors, second in command to Mary Barra. But at the time, he was in charge of GM's product development, and he'd be the one leading the press conference.
And kind of walked him through, here's what we want to say, here's where, you know, we just netted in the room. And Mark looked at me and says, "This, you don't think this goes far enough?" And I was like, "No, I don't." And he said, "Well, what do you think we need?" And I said, "I still believe GM believes in an all-electric future." And then Mary Barra walks in the room and looks at us and says, "Did you two figure out what we're going to be announcing next week?" And Mark said, "Yeah, he doesn't think that this is big enough." And I'm like, "Dude, you agreed that we didn't believe this is big enough." Mary asked Mark, you know, pretty directly, like, "Do you believe in an all-electric future?" And Mark thought for a second and said, "Yeah, I do, actually. I do. I think that it's going to make our world a lot easier. It's going to help us to be able to retain and attract talent that we want on the engineering ranks. And it's going to simplify things. It's going to get us down to one type of way of moving vehicles. And we might have a couple different flavors for that. It might be battery electric and hydrogen fuel cell electric, but, you know, it's still all electric. So, yeah, I believe in that." And so then Mary said, "Got to say, I've been, after thinking about it, I like the sound of it too. And so, okay, let's do it. Who else do we have to talk into this?" And I was like looking at the two of them, and I'm like, "I'm pretty sure it's just the two of you. I don't know who else you'd have to talk to about this."
And from that point on, this became one of Mary Barra's favorite talking points.
"General Motors, we believe in an all-electric future. We're working to a goal where we have zero crashes, zero emissions, and zero congestion. And we've got to work together to create the infrastructure, for us to have the products, to drive the cost down. But I think it's very important for the globe."
But deciding on language for a press announcement is one thing. Bringing a mission statement to life throughout a company as big and as old as GM, that requires buy-in from more than just two people in an office at headquarters.
Anytime you have a 100-year-old plus automaker, change is not something that comes immediately. Change is not something that comes immediately in society. And when you've got a company as large as General Motors, it is in many ways a reflection of society itself. These type of changes don't happen necessarily quickly, but I think that with the right leadership, it can be done a lot faster than people expect it to.
Ray says that was true at GM in the days following the adoption of its belief in an all-electric future, especially in certain areas of the company.
What we found is that also there was a desire on the part of the engineering ranks to be bigger, to do something bigger, to feel like they had a purpose above and beyond just building cars and trucks, but like that they could actually make a better world. And so we saw, I think, the internalization of that 000 mission and vision has really done wonders and has allowed them to be able to deliver so far on that all-electric promise. And they've made, I think, some of the right decisions. I mean, even just this recent decision to use the Tesla charging standard, you know, was the recognition that, like, we're going to do whatever we need to do in order to be able to bring that mission to life. And we're going to set aside our ego and our arrogance, and we're going to say, we're going to adopt a standard that, frankly, is being used by more people.
Ray Wirt later became head of corporate communications at GM's robotaxi unit, Cruise, from 2019 to 2022, before leaving the company. Now, as an outside observer, he says he's still encouraged by what he's seeing, even if he doesn't always understand the entire thought process behind every decision.
Look, I have a lot of belief in Mary and a lot of belief in Mark and a lot of belief in the teams at General Motors. These are some of the smartest, some of the most talented people that I've ever had the chance to work with. And like, I've got a lot of trust in the fact that they want this mission to succeed. If there's one thing Mary does is that she does what she says. And she said this, so she's going to do it.
All right, Jamie, so I find this story from Ray really interesting and kind of remarkable. I mean, I think it's pretty rare that we get this kind of glimpse into the actual conversations and sort of skepticism even within a company behind a big conversation like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another thing that I've been thinking about is the timing of this. I mean, if you think about 2017, 2018, EVs are even more expensive. They're even less profitable than they are now. And they only make up about 1% of the new vehicle market at the time. So it seems like kind of a big risk from the surface. And even, you know, the timing had to sort of be right when they do this, because what are people going to think that they're going all in on this segment that's only 1% of the market?
Well, you think about how big General Motors is, and it's not as big as it used to be, but it's, you know, many, many factories, many products, multiple brands just in this country, other brands in other countries. To transform a company like General Motors is a very big ambition and not something that's going to happen in any quick time frame. It's a lot harder than holding a press conference.
So what was your reaction at the time? I mean,
my initial reaction was kind of, this seems like a really extreme case of a Tesla wannabe syndrome, which, you know, but the thing is, by setting the big goal, it gave GM the strategy to know the building blocks they need to put in place. They weren't just going to try to come up with a model or two and see if they could convert a factory and then maybe see when there's enough demand for a second one. And you've seen it in the way they've gone about, you know, the Ultium battery, the partnerships around that, the new platform and the versatility of that, the strategic placements of the battery plants and the assembly plants, you know, gives them a big chunk of that way. Getting the rest of the way, we know, I mean, it's not immediate and it's not going to be quick.
One other note is that when we talked to Ray, one thing we wanted to clarify is, you know, in this 000 equation, the zero emissions part of that, was this just about, you know, zero emissions from their products? Was this bigger than that? In Ray's mind, as someone who is on the communications team at least, this was a world of zero emissions. This is much broader than just the products. But, you know, the statement itself allows a lot of room, I guess, for interpretation.
Yeah, I mean, it's super hard, and it's hard to really even conceive of a zero emission assembly plant. I mean, I know there are those that are classified that way, typically through offsets. There are things you can do to, you know, harvest energy from the sun and all that. But especially if you think, and the way we try to look at it now, where it's how you run your business, it's the way your product is used, and it's where you get your supply, the parts that are supplied and the energy that you would take in the first place. It's a really daunting task and one that maybe doesn't have so much of a deadline.
Well, when we come back, we're going to dig a lot more into all of these topics. We're going to take a big picture look at GM's vision of a world of zero emissions and how the automakers actually moved toward that goal since 2017.
Hyundai's vision, Progress for Humanity, is based on a determination to ensure universal mobility while supporting a carbon-neutral society, with plans to electrify the entire vehicle lineup and over 20 years of research into hydrogen technology, Hyundai is leading the way for change toward a more sustainable world. Hydrogen, in particular, is a crucial component of Hyundai's carbon neutrality efforts, and it's more than just an alternative fuel source for passenger vehicles. From production, storage, and distribution to hydrogen use in trucks, public transportation, ships, urban air mobility, and beyond, Hyundai is invested in establishing hydrogen as a widely used energy across our entire society. Hyundai is committed to building a better world for tomorrow, and the future of hydrogen has never been more promising. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
The Daily Drive podcast brings you all the news you need to know to keep up in the auto industry. I'm Jamie Butters, executive editor of Automotive News.
And I'm Kellen Walker. We give you all the top stories each weekday and interviews with experts like Mike Dunn explaining Jeep's struggles in China.
How bad did it get as recently as June? Sales of Jeeps in China. Can you guess the number, Jamie?
Oh, gosh. Was it four digits?
It was one digit. And the number was one.
Listen and subscribe to Daily Drive at autonews.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Driving to Zero. I'm Jake Neer here with Automotive News executive editor Jamie Butters. To dig into more of this topic about GM and how it has moved toward its vision of a world of zero emissions, we've got two people here with us who have been following General Motors' every move for quite a while. Lindsay Van Hulley has been covering GM for Automotive News since November of 2022. Hey, Lindsay.
Hi, Jake. Thanks for having me.
And Hannah Lutz covers electric vehicles and EV infrastructure for us at Automotive News and covered GM from 2019 to 2022. Welcome, Hannah.
Hi, Jake. Thanks.
So Hannah, let's start with you. You know, you started covering GM after this story that we just heard at the top of the episode. They'd already sort of started down this path a little bit, but what were they doing at that point, if anything, to sort of reach this goal?
Well, there were a lot of signs that GM felt this EV world, this transition was imminent and that they wanted to be a leader in it. So back in fall 2019, as part of a labor deal with the UAW, GM decided to keep its Detroit Hamtramck assembly plant open. It was supposed to close, but they kept it open for EV production. Now it's called Factory Zero. They invested $3 billion and they're building the GMC Hummer and other EVs there. The plant itself helps GM with its climate goals. It's powered by renewable energy. So it really gets to that zero emission target that they had set. And then a few months later, GM and LG Energy Solution announced a joint venture to develop EV batteries. Now we know that as Ultium Cells LLC. So that move showed that GM really wanted to stake in EVs beyond assembly. They wanted to get into the whole supply chain and make batteries themselves with LG. And then March 2020, so right before the pandemic, you know, shut down the U.S., GM invited reporters, this was March 4th, GM invited reporters behind their EV curtain. So we went to the Design Dome in Warren, and they showed us 11 clay models of their future EVs. And they had exhibits on charging. They talked about electric motors that they would make. So they really like opened up in a way that I had never seen before. Mary Barra was walking the floor. Anybody could, you know, walk right up to her. They were very, very open. They're usually so secretive, like everybody else, about future product. But I think they just wanted to show that this wasn't just talk. This was credible. And these are the EVs that they're going to build. And then we see January 2021. So this is about a week after President Biden took office. And GM said it would eliminate tailpipe emissions in light vehicles by 2035 and become carbon neutral by 2040. So, you know, before this point, they had talked about some product that would come out. They said they wanted to be all electric. When? Who knew? But this gave them a timeline. By 2035, they would become all electric in terms of light vehicles.
But did that still have the asterisk of if the consumers are willing to go there with us?
Yeah, that asterisk kind of came a little bit later. It wasn't part of that 2035 announcement. But certainly when they were pressed more about it, they did say, you know, I remember Steve Carlisle, this was months after this announcement, but he said it's a target, not a guarantee. So yeah, definitely keep that in mind.
And with that in mind, Lindsay, you know, we'd been talking before we recorded this about trying to figure out the more measurable goals here and not just the press statements. And it turned out to be a little bit more difficult than we maybe thought at first. But what did you find out when you kind of started digging into, you know, what's measurable here and what are they, you know, what are they aiming for at this point?
Well, you know, I think to start, the 2035 goal is still what they're talking about. You know, since then, they've talked about how Cadillac and Buick are going to be the leading brands. You know, both of those brands are talking about being all EV by 2030. Chevy and GMC haven't given a similar date on there, but, you know, the broader goal of 2035 is still what they're aiming for. So, you know, we're going to see, I think, a lot more acceleration around EVs, in particular from Cadillac and Buick. And in fact, Buick has released its last all new ICE nameplate. So going forward, that's what we're going to start to see there. You know, they've been talking about different numbers and different targets really for a number of years. I think going back to even, I think the fall of 2017, they were talking about, you know, 20 new all electric models globally by 2023, which is now. And it's sort of difficult to really benchmark that in the sense of any kind of absolute single objective number, I think, because of how people might count models or nameplates. You know, if you look at the US market, it's certainly not close to 20. You know, right now they have the GMC Hummer EV pickup and SUV, the Chevrolet Bolt EV and EUV, which are on the older battery architecture, and the Cadillac Lyriq that are actually on sale. But there are a number of other vehicles that are on their way that are starting production now, you know, and into next year. But if you look into China, there's a big EV business there, bigger than in the US so far. And, you know, if you look at vehicles from some of the brands that are sold only in China, including some you know, Buick, for instance, has EVs that are only sold in China so far. You know, it gets them closer to that number. And, you know, so I think that 20 figure by 2023, I think to them sort of signaled where they wanted to go. You know, this is a direction that we're headed and kind of where we see this business going. You know, since then, they've refined that. You know, they've talked about sales of 1 million annually by 2025, you know, in the US and China. They're looking right now at having capacity to build 1 million EVs in North America by 2025. You know, they've said they've built 50,000 in North America just in the first half of this year. They're aiming to double that in the second half of this year, and that by mid-2024, they will have built cumulatively 400,000 EVs in North America.
So that was a 2017 goal. So clearly before the pandemic, before the long UAW strike in 2019, GM's been through some things since then. It's, I guess it's good work on their part to stay within spitting distance of that goal.
Yeah, you know, sales in the U.S., you know, EV sales were about 39,000 last year. Right now in the U.S., through the first half of this year, they're at about 36,000. So really, you know, the first 6 months of this year, they're almost to their total EV sales that they hit for all of last year. But globally last year, GM says it had about 540,000 EV sales, you know, around the world. The U.S. and China being big markets, but, you know, they have EVs in a number of other countries as well. So far this year, it's about 297,000 globally.
Anna, you brought up Ultium earlier in the conversation. Talk about how that EV platform factors into GM's just ability to go as quickly into this as they have been trying to.
Sure. So yeah, Ultium has been a big part of this push by GM. They use the name really for a lot of their electrification strategy. Yes. They use it for their EV platform. We talked about Ultium Cells LLC, which is the joint venture for batteries. They use it for their broader like EV energy brand. But for the platform part of it, it's a purpose-built platform is what they call it. So it's they use the same sort of system for every EV. They're not retrofitting their old architecture or structures to build electric vehicles. They are doing this from the ground up very purposefully. And that shows like the level of investment and resources that they're putting into it.
For people who don't know, it's sort of like a skateboard, right? As a lot of people refer to it, it's a flat thing that you can build pretty much any kind of car on top of, basically.
Yes, yes.
And that's kind of what GM has talked about too, that flexibility, you know, that they can use that one Ultium battery platform to build a number of different types of vehicles, you know, from a GMC Hummer EV to a Chevy Equinox. And that, you know, they talk about that really allowing it to give them the room to bring vehicles from all four of its brands on there. And it's actually going to be the home for the Bolt, actually, the older architecture that's going to end. But GM has recently said they're planning to resurrect that on the Ultium platform. So being able to take a number of different vehicle styles from a number of different brands all on one platform.
The audience couldn't see. I think Hannah cracked a little smile before she said purpose built, because I'm pretty sure she knows, like most of our staff does, that I am not a fan of that term. I believe there are no vehicles or architectures that get made accidentally. They are all made on purpose. But the importance of it being that proper design made for EVs, and you're exactly right, Jake, the skateboard, you know, for those of us who are old enough to remember, GM was talking about skateboards really as a hydrogen fuel cell solution like 20 years ago. But it made perfect sense for GM with the technology background they have and the design work they had put into the skateboard that they would incorporate that and adopt that as their EV platform. And it looks like a winning strategy. They've had some manufacturing problems so far, but it definitely makes a lot of sense as a product strategy.
And I think as part of that, the important point to tackle here is that it also, they see this as a way to make EVs affordable, right? That, you know, if they have this manufacturing process that they can make really efficient, maybe they can start driving that cost down, which is a big factor in adoption in the future.
Economies of scale are very important in the auto industry.
I feel like ever since they started on this track toward all EV, that has been a big topic, is how to share parts and resources to just make the whole process more accessible and more affordable.
And there's a lot of work on the battery side too, because, you know, that is one of, if not the costliest part of an EV. And so looking at a lot of research into how do you make more efficient batteries? How do you bring the cost down? Are there different chemistries you could use that might be, you know, more cost effective? I think that all goes into that discussion of affordability.
You know, at the risk of going on and on, you know, Hannah mentioned earlier about, you know, the signal that they sent by investing in battery making, you know, which wasn't really something they had done other than maybe through, you know, AC Delco when they owned Delphi decades ago. But Hannah also had reported about how they were investing in lithium mining in the Salton Sea and, you know, other places. But especially that one's a very interesting, ambitious, long-range project. And it shows them getting all the way into the minerals of the batteries, which, to be fair, is something Tesla had been doing. But again, it shows the ambition and the building blocks that GM is putting together through the entire value chain.
Yeah, they really were trying to establish a completely new supply chain. I talked with one of their executives and he told me that, you know, they would sit around a table and they had mining company executives there, non-automotive suppliers, engineers, battery supply chain and purchasing experts. They were all, you know, trying to come up with the right path.
And what's interesting is that they'll tell you, you know, they have all of the minerals and all of the agreements that they need really through 2025, you know, so now they're beginning to look at the next 5 years. And you'll see, you know, we've seen a lot of agreements from them, whether it's partnerships or investments in everything from mining to processing to recycling, just to try and I think control what they can control, you know, because a lot of that is so much of that is done externally.
Sort of on the, you know, on the topic of producing these vehicles, we talked a little bit about Factory Zero earlier, but looking across the industrial footprint of this company, what does it look like in their efforts to try to cut their carbon footprint on the manufacturing side of things? You know, products are one thing, but this is a company that is using a lot of energy every single day to make them. So what are they doing to try to reduce their impact there?
Factory Zero is a good example. You know, when they talked about that plant, it's, you know, sort of being converted really as their first all EV assembly plant. And, you know, they are looking at having that be powered entirely by renewable energy this year, you know, in partnership with the Michigan utility that powers that plant. They've got a solar carport, you know, a solar array on site, you know, different things that they have put in place there to help not just with the actual assembly of the vehicles, but doing that in a more efficient way.
Yeah, and they did have that goal too of being carbon neutral by 2040. So that fits into their facilities. And sort of alongside this, not in the exact same category, they introduced GM Energy last year. So a new business unit for kind of the EV ecosystem and energy management and charging, et cetera. So they're really, it feels like they're getting into every little pocket of this EV and energy ecosystem.
Including charging networks, mm-hmm. right? And they joined up with Tesla's and they led the creation or were part of the creation of a competing network.
Yeah, there's a joint venture now GM is a part of with six other automakers to establish another network.
And they're working with dealers too. You know, they're basically encouraging their dealers to put charging sites, charging stations in their local communities because, you know, their thought is, you know, we can't sell electric vehicles if our customers feel like they have no place to charge. And so by getting the dealers to put them in places around their communities, which, you know, might not all be along coasts or in major, you know, cities or along highways, you know, that could be one way to do it. I visited a dealer in a small town in Michigan that put a bunch of them at a health center because it's the biggest employer and there's a you know, a gym on site. And that was a place where a lot of people are parking cars.
Okay, so it's great to make EVs and offer them at a variety of price points. That makes sense, but you have to make money. What has Mary Barra said about when GM expects to become profitable on their EVs?
Yeah, I think, you know, this came up about a year ago at its investor day, and they were talking about really by 2025, you know, they said, you know, their EVs will be solidly profitable by then, you know, nearly matching its internal combustion vehicles. I think they're projecting low to mid single digit margins, you know, by the middle of the decade, you know, revenue of $50 billion, you know, from EVs in 2025. And so you know, that's even without the impact of the new federal tax credits. And GM's had a lot of vehicles that are eligible for that full $7,500. So that's, you know, at least the trajectory that they're pointing to right now. And, you know, I think there's a lot that still has to happen for that to come to pass. But I would imagine at the Investor Day this November, we'll get more information and maybe some more guidance on what they're looking at right now.
2025 is right around the corner. I mean, this is late 2023 right now. I mean, we're only about a year away from 2025.
Yeah. And, you know, they've got a number of launches that are still ahead. You know, they've had some challenges ramping up their EV production so far. So, you know, they've got more battery capacity coming. They have more EV models that are going to be launching. Those things will help them get to that goal theoretically, but they've got, you know, still some challenges to really be able to scale up the production and really turn out the vehicles, I think, at the rate that they're hoping to.
Lindsay Van Holly, Hannah Lutz, thank you guys so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, GM decided early on that an all-electric future was the path forward for the automaker. But 6 years later, not every automaker is convinced that that's the right approach. That's specifically one automaker, and it happens to be the biggest in the world.
We have to be realistic about this and understand the goal is to reduce net CO2 emissions. It's not to convert everybody to one particular kind of car. That's the means to the end. It's the end itself that matters the most.
On the next episode of Driving to Zero, Toyota versus everybody. Driving to Zero is a podcast from Automotive News, original music and sound design by Sam Bobian. We got additional help from Kellen Walker and Alicia Anderson. I'm Jake Neer. If you enjoy the podcast, please help us out. Give us a like, a review, and hit subscribe to make sure you catch the next episode of Driving to Zero.